Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mick Williams, Caroline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. Host 2020 at cyber-line.com, facebook.com/cyberlinenet, and the tweety out there, Cyberline USA. By the way, got a question for you. You listening to us in Ohio anywhere? I've been getting reports that we may have a station. Nobody seems to be telling me what this station is. So if you are listening to us in Ohio, not any other state, just Ohio. And it could be any city in Ohio. It could be Cleveland, it could be Youngstown, Columbiana County, you know, whatever's there, even Dayton and Cincinnati. But if you are listening to us right now in Ohio, we'd like to hear from you. So shoot us an email at host2020, that's 2020, at cyber-line.com. That's cyber, then a hyphen, line.com, just like the name of the show. Because we'd like to hear from you, because we've been getting reports that supposedly we're on in Ohio, and obviously I've missed a memo somewhere if it's true. So if you are within the sound of my voice, please shoot us an email, host2020@cyber-line.com, and I'll reply to you, or somebody will, and tell us what the station is, what time you're listening, and if you'll also tell us what the frequency is. Like, is it 98.7 or 101.1 or whatever it is that you're listening to? Or maybe it's even AM. Maybe it's 660, 820, whatever. So we definitely want to hear from you. Host2020@cyber-line.com. And don't be shy. Don't let the other one go first. If you're hearing me, get to the thing. Send a mail. Who knows? Maybe we'll send you something in return. Wink, wink. Okay, so big tech employees and big tech companies have been in the news, and they've been very naughty, naughty, naughty. First off, it turns out that the tech employees have opened wallets for the Biden campaign. They have firms a key source of contributions for Joe Biden's presidential campaign, according to newly released campaign finance records, eclipsing donations from employees at traditional Democratic fundraising sources such as banks and law firms. So employees of Google's parent Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon.com, Apple, and Facebook were the five largest sources of money for Biden's campaign and joint fundraising committees among those identifying corporate employers, according to a Wall Street Journal analysis of the campaign finance report. Now, Biden's presidential campaign received at least $15.1 million from employees of those five tech firms, according to the records, and as usual, the companies, as always, decided to not comment. Now, take this in contrast to the previous Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton and, of course, Barack Obama. Now, they also received large contributions from tech company employees, but their top sources of employee donations extended beyond the tech sector. Case in point, Mrs. Clinton, biggest sources of funds from those identifying corporate employers in 2016, a lot of them the donor whales, which were personal injury law lawyers, and especially the firm Morgan & Morgan, banks like J.P. Morgan and Chase and Company, along with Google, Microsoft, and Apple, according to election records compiled from the Nonpartisan Center for Responsive Politics. 4 years later, Obama's top sources of corporate employee contribution included Microsoft and Google, but also Deloitte, Time Warner, which is now part of AT&T, and law firm DLA Piper. Now, of course, corporations are prohibited from giving directly to campaigns, but hey, they can nudge their employees because they're free to give as individuals and in the aggregate provide a window into the leanings of workers who are politically active enough to donate across different industries. Now, on the Republican side, the people that voted for Donald Trump's 2020 presidential campaign that contributed money were employees of American Airlines, Boeing, Bank of America, Lockheed Martin, and Wells Fargo, according to the same group. Findings come as Republicans have asserted that big tech companies are biased against them, including allegations that companies with online platforms such as Facebook and Google censor online content to favor liberal views. Yeah, they do. According to Doug Hay, a former spokesman for the Republican National Committee, he says there's a disconnect between the tech industry and many Republicans. We don't like Silicon Valley, and they don't like us. Now, Facebook, Google, and other tech platforms have in the past denied that the politics of their employees affect how they run their business. Yeah, Alphabet, how about that union you got there? They're pretty much in control of what's going on, I'm sure. And, of course, the Democrats over there believe that companies have grown too large and that their platforms have permitted the spread of false political information that helped Mr. Trump. Now, Google, Facebook, and Amazon are already targets of antitrust investigations all over the world, and there is bipartisan support in Congress for measures that could diminish their clout. Chief Executive Officer of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, Twitter Incorporated, Jack Dorsey, CEO, and Alphabet CEO, Sundar Pichai, are set to testify before a House Rep Committee panel next month. Now, supposedly, and I don't know how true this is, but Biden has signaled that he supports rescinding the broad legal immunity that tech firms currently enjoy for information carried over their networks. Buddy, if you're getting $5.1 million from the employees, I don't think that's going to happen. Meanwhile, down under, there's a whole bunch of stuff going down there that's not too great. And dig this, news thunder from down under. So, down in Sydney, Facebook has faced an angry backlash on Thursday after blocking news feeds in Australia in a surprise escalation of a dispute with the government, which could be a test for the future of online publishing worldwide. The move was denounced by media groups, politicians, and human rights groups in Australia and beyond as it became clear that official health pages and emergency warnings had been scrubbed, along with news sites just 3 days before the launch of a nationwide COVID-19 vaccine program. Facebook actions to unfriend Australia today, cutting off essential information services on health and emergency services, were as arrogant as they were disappointing, according to Prime Minister Scott Morrison, as he wrote on his own Facebook page. These actions will only concern the concerns that an increasing number of countries are expressing about the behavior of big tech, who think they are bigger than governments and that the rules should not apply to them. Now, the dispute centers on a planned Australian law which require Facebook and Google to reach commercial deals to pay news outlets whose links have driven traffic to their platforms or agree a price through arbitration. Now, News Corp, I know, has made a deal with one of them. It's either Facebook or Google. I haven't had a chance to figure it out at press time, but I was watching CNBC on this a couple days ago, and they're the only ones that have actually come to an agreement. Now, mind you, Australia is a small market. The law is being closely watched around the world by regulators. Could be a test case for a bigger global push to force internet giants to share more of their revenue with content providers. News publishers outside Australia leapt on Facebook's tactics as evidence that the company, which also owns Instagram and WhatsApp, cannot be trusted as the gatekeeper for their industry. Banning news during a global pandemic was, quote, a classic example of a monopoly power being the schoolyard bully trying to protect its dominant position with scant regard for the citizens and customers it supports, supposedly serves, end quote, says Henry Farr Walker, chairman of Britain's News Media Association Industry Group. Facebook said they blocked a wide swath of pages because the draft law did not provide clearly defined news content. It says its commitment to combat misinformation has not changed, and it would restore pages that have been taken down by mistake. Now, they are not the only ones that are having this issue. Canada is having this issue. I believe the UK and several other EU countries are having this as well. Publishers say platforms such as Google and Facebook have hoarded the vast bulk of revenue as media shifts online, even as print and broadcast advertising shrivels, forcing newspapers, magazines, TV, and radio stations to shut down newsrooms. The move in Australia represents a split between Facebook and Google, which has joined together for years to campaign against such laws. Both have threatened to cancel service in Australia, but Google instead sealed preemptive deals with several media outlets in recent days. Ah, it was them that did News Corp. News Corp was the latest to announce a deal in which it will receive significant payments from Google in return for providing content with the search engine's News Showcase account. Facebook Pages, a state-funded Australian broadcasting corporation, went blank, along with those of Australia's two big metro newspaper chains, Nine Entertainment Company Limited, and News Corp International outlets such as the New York Times, BBC, and Reuters also became invisible. Also affected were scores of charity accounts, major state government accounts, including those providing advice on the coronavirus pandemic and bushfire threats at the height of summer season, though some of these were later restored. Even Facebook's own page was briefly taken down. And Facebook shares did trade down 1.1% pre-market dealings on Thursday, and they definitely got their rear ends kicked in the market. Now, a couple of things on this. We have a lot of issues with these guys, everything from banning conservative talk to doing what they've done to Parler and other apps as well, both Apple and the Google platforms. This should not stand. We need to do something about this. And I've told you guys time and time again, go to the other sites, set up something, and ditch Facebook. Now, I know, and I'm just as guilty, and I'm doing my darndest to get rid of mine because I got so much crap on it. I'm trying to archive everything before I pull it down to make sure, you know, I still got a copy of everything. 800-something plus photos. I'm sure some of you have even more. It takes a long time. So eventually, I'm turning off my personal page. I'm shutting it down. I'll keep the fan page up and running and the others, but I'm not giving out any more personal information to Facebook. I refuse to. It's just not worth it. And if you're going to do this, you got to go cold turkey. You can't keep one foot in Facebook and one in MeWe. You got to go MeWe or wherever it is you want to be. Get your people to leave as well. And just like the guys at Wall Street Bets, if you get stock, buy it because you have voting rights. And if all of you get together like they did blowing out a hedge fund, imagine what you could do to maneuver these companies because you have people together making a sizable voting block to say who can be on the board, how many people you can be on the board, and draft laws and things to tow these people in line. That's what you got to do. Now, some of the other things that are happening, Radio Canada International is in the fight for its life right now. Because it's free speech, and free speech all over the world in different languages from Montreal, Quebec, and their transmitters. They are trying to get a law passed to dismantle Radio Canada International and bring it more into line of being Canadian news and doing more sort of a home service. Radio Canada has been around for a long time, and if you're familiar with shortwave, perhaps you're not, but back in the day, we used to listen to these stations like BBC and Radio Canada International and be able to get the news. And there's Voice of America that we have on our side. And there's tons of others out there. DW Network, Australia, Australian Broadcasting Company, which about a couple of years ago shut down their shortwave service because it was too costly and felt that it wasn't needed because of today's technology with the internet and stuff. We listened on shortwave radios, crackly, wackly, trying to hear John Peel on the BBC giving us the Sex Pistols and all the punk rock that we went out and bought as imports and everything and turned the UK upside down, and then Peel turned around and turned the US upside down with all that music that was just wonderful from the time. But what a lot of people don't know is you don't even have to do that anymore. All of them now broadcast off the internet. The BBC shut down a lot of their relay transmitters to North America. The Bethany Relay Station in Ohio, of all places, which is in a little town of Bethany, which is right across the street from the WLW transmitter, which is a 50,000 blowtorch for 700 WLW in Cincinnati. And now it's a museum. But because of the internet, you can listen to all of them. And BBC was also on NPR at night. So if you tune in your local NPR station, sometimes at night from about 10 o'clock in the morning until 4 in the morning when they start the morning news programs and everything for the day, you can actually listen to the World Service live, or just go to the BBC website and you can listen to it off your phone, your tablet, whatever. Same way with Australia. Same way with Radio Canada International. But the problem that people are coming out with, especially with both ABC and RCI, is this. there's a lot of people out there that don't have internet. There's a lot of people that have radios. And in order to keep up with everything, that's their source of news. And it's still needed today. John Lennon, who recently had 40th anniversary of him being shot, great thing on BritBox called Lennon's Last Weekend. He talked about the BBC. They were in a process of Margaret Thatcher possibly cutting funding and everything. He's like, man, I listened to that as a kid. That what got me through the days. And when he goes all over the world, people listen to the BBC and they have something to talk about as a reference point. Says, oh, yeah, I heard that show, too. What do you think of that person? What do you think of this thing? And that's kind of the same way here. And now you have the tech oligarchs doing their thing, trying to shut us down. And now, possibly, we've got stuff even on the internet now that are wanting to be dismantled because they don't want your right to know and free speech. So get cracking on this stuff and pay more attention, kids, because one day it's going to be gone. And we are literally all collectively screwed. It's hard doing this by yourself. Let me tell you. God, I wish Bob was here. Better still, I wish Bob was here and I was in Cancun. Maybe I'll call up Ted and we could play chess over the phone. Hell, who knows? Anyway, I'm going to be coming up on a break here a little bit. When we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit about Rush Limbaugh and some thoughts that I have and some of the similarities and things that him and I have. And because of him, I'm kind of sitting where I am today. And so is Doc Bryce at KBEU. And a lot of other broadcasters as well. We owe a debt to Rush, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. So, take a break real quick. We'll come back with our final thoughts. Listen to McWilliams Cyberline. We'll be right back. McWilliams Cyberline with you. I'm not going to give out numbers or anything. This final break here. Just want to give a little bit of this music because we're not going to probably hear it for quite a long time. Some of the things they're going to be doing, from what I hear from the network premiere, is that best ofs will be played along with guest hosts for the next 90 days. Allow people to kind of pay their respects and say goodbye to Rush. And then they're going to find somebody to put in the chair later to put in that slot. Meanwhile, don't forget Monday, if you've got the Rush Limbaugh 24/7 app, iHeartRadio app, or even if you've just listened on the radio, his wife, Catherine, will be doing the show all 3 hours and taking phone calls and talking about Rush and reminiscing about the good old days. So be able to do that. Some things that I've learned from Rush Limbaugh. First off, me, many of us, are the reason why we're sitting here in these chairs is because of Rush Limbaugh. Rush, before there was a Rush, we were what you call time and temperature jocks. Hey, it's KTLR, Stereo Country 107. It's 12:37 and 37 degrees. Oh, and look what's in the USA News. This is before the Kardashians, by the way. And then it got to the point where it was automated. Well, we don't need us anymore. Why are they paying for us when the computer picks the music and plays it and throws in liners and everything? And who needs a person out midnight to 6 to stay when we just lock the doors at 9 o'clock and we don't have to pay them? And then eventually AM was dying because AM got left the music to the FM, neither simulcasted, and people wanted to get rid of their stations because it was just costing them money. And then Rush came along, put the entire AM on its ears and saved AM radio. Now, I got a lot of liberal naysayers out there going, yeah, wasting night saving AM radio. Okay, I'll throw you a bone. Two things saved AM radio. One, Rush. Two, the Telecommunications Act of 1996. Because before Rush, you couldn't give away an AM station. They were horrible. Nobody wanted them. Everybody was on FM. But the Telecommunications Act allowed for consolidation. Now a station that you couldn't get $100,000 for became $500,000. A $500,000 station became a million. A million station became two. A two became four. A four became six. And if you look at WABC, the jewel of the crown of Disney at the time when I worked for WBAP and also for Citadel when they went bankrupt and Cumulus got them, sold them off to a guy who has a regional grocery chain in New York and is planning to run for mayor, $14 million. for WABC. And yeah, they had to pull out of the Avenue of America's building and find their own place to broadcast from, but so far that's the highest one. Here's what I learned about from Rush. Rush was a guy who didn't go to college where the rest of his family did. Total opposite. He didn't want to go to school, didn't like school, thought it was a prison. Turned around, made a name for himself. He was miserable at many jobs until he found radio was his calling. I want you to go to YouTube when you get a chance. Type in Rush Limbaugh CPAC, CPAC 2009. His first speech, about an hour and a half long, but it's broken up into sections. And I want you to hear part two, because he tells you what he believes. And don't listen to liberal people, because they don't want you to hear this. He told everybody, I want you to succeed. I succeed, you succeed, everybody succeeds. He wanted to lift everybody up. He gave to like Frank Sinatra. He gave money to charities and never said a word. Find out now he's been donating heavy to the St. Jude Children's Hospital. But watch that and learn from it. And it'll show you he wanted everybody to succeed. And he talks about it. Everybody has a piece of the pie. Everybody can succeed. You just have to learn how to do it. Don't tell the naysayers get you down. Learn the tools, get it done, and succeed. One of the things he also said, and I remember for years that people always put him down, he says, you know what? You know what the best revenge is? When people put you down and tell you you can't do something, and yet you're doing it and making money, you just open up your checkbook, look at the register, and you smile. Big grin on your face. Smile, because your bank account says otherwise when you really get it done. So, we've lost Rush. There'll never be another one like him. But watch the CPAC video, because I'm telling you, you can do this. I didn't go to college. I went through radio. And you find something that you're passionate about. It doesn't have to be radio. It doesn't have to be anything else. My case now, it's radio and the stock market. But be the best that you can be and excel at what you can. And you will find yourself a lot more happier in your life than you can ever imagine. So with that said, we're going to let you go. Rush Limbaugh, Rusty, my boy, you done good. Thank you for everything. Hopefully one day we'll pay it back. And also in the words of the great immortal Orson Welles, another one right up there with the big man, we remain as always obedient to yours. Good night, Rush, wherever you are.